This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's morning show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Every couple of weeks, we talk with Greg David to get the scoop on what's happening around AMI in the world of TV. Greg is a communications specialist at AMI, and he joins us this morning from Chelsea, Quebec. Hello, Greg.
Good morning, Dave. Happy to join you.
So, Greg, you've got some exciting news for us and fans of AMI this week, because later this month, it's making its big return to the airwaves of AMI TV. So, Greg, give us the sneak preview. What can you tell us about what we can expect from some upcoming segments this season?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Upcoming segments are going to include Beth Deer, who meets a partially sighted artist who is creating portraits using just pencils and paper. And Grant Hardy is going to chat with the team behind the On This Spot app, which is kind of gives you a walking tour of a city tour that gives the history behind certain cities around North America. Laura Bain is going to talk about the language that she uses to discuss her disability. And Alex Smythe is going to speak with the co-hosts of Crip Times. It's a podcast that explores the world of disability and art. So just a little taste into what people can expect when AMI This Week returns on AMI TV.
Greg, I'm feeling a little bit of jealousy because I, of course, used to be part of the AMI This Week team. So I used to know all the good stuff, all the inside scoops, all the embargoed information was deep in my brain. But now I've got to depend on you to release what you can. So I know you can release this information. What's the date when it's coming back, and where can we find it? What time slot on AMI TV?
AMI This Week returns Monday, April the 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern on AMI TV. But you can always catch up online. Head to AMI.ca. You can stream it there post-broadcast, and you can watch it also on the AMI TV app for iOS and Android.
Mm-hmm. I was super excited. You and I talked about that Android app a couple of weeks ago when it went live in the store. I was one of the first people to download it. At least in my mind, I like to think I was one of the first people who downloaded it. So I was very, very happy to see that's on my Android phone. So super excited on that front. Now, Greg, we need to at least talk about a new voice slash face folks are going to be experiencing from the Ottawa Bureau. So give us the inside scoop on the new presence inside the Ottawa Bureau, my old stomping grounds.
Yeah, we're happy and thrilled to announce Christopher Vallée is the newest bureau reporter for AMI This Week, and he's based out of the Ottawa area, like you said. Chris is a graduate of the journalist program at Algonquin College. He graduated in 2019, and he's worked with several media productions since then, including Global TV's juggernaut series, Big Brother Canada. He also led the digital news team at the Ottawa News Network for nearly 2 years. And his first segment for AMI This Week is going to be on April the 26th. And Chris is going to meet with a volunteer advocate named Rob Meredith, where he learns about Rob's participation in the Able to Matching program. So make sure you tune in to not only learn more about, you know, meet Chris for the first time, but also to learn more about the Able to Matching program that is based out of Ottawa.
Very cool. Well, I know Chris has made a couple of appearances on AMI Audio on Kelly and Company over the course of the last months, but looking forward to getting him to pop on to those big AMI TV screens, and a big welcome to Chris, to the AMI family. Hey, Greg, let's pick your brain about something here in the world of Canadian TV. And we always ask the big, bold questions on Now with Dave Brown. This time specifically, what is Canadian TV? What makes TV Canadian? Because earlier this month, Amazon Prime Video announced that Jay Baruchel will be the host of the Canadian edition of LOL, Last One Laughing Canada. The show is considered Canadian TV. Does a Canadian version of an international program really constitute Canadian television? So, Greg, it's kind of a big, bold question when we ask that, what is Canadian TV? But let's try at least to understand the frameworks here. There's a point system for broadcast regulators to calculate what is Canadian television. So, for example, in the music industry, it's MAPLE, music, artist, production, lyrics. But how does the point system work in TV?
Yeah, you know, you remember when you were back in school and you hated learning in-depth things on Friday? I'm going to do that to you a little bit because it involves math. Okay, so as set out by the CRTC, to certify a television program as Canadian, the production is assessed on a 10-point scale. And points are accorded to the number of Canadians fulfilling creative roles. So for the majority of productions, points are granted for the director. So you get 2 points for that. Screenwriter is 2 points. A lead performer is 1. Second lead performer is 1. Production designer 1. Director of photography 1. Music composer 1. And the picture editor is also 1.
Okay.
Yeah, so generally productions must obtain 6 points out of the 10 possible points to be certified as Canadian.
Okay, so I definitely see how that works out, at least in terms of populating the numbers to ensure your staff is adequately reflective of a Canadian population. But I guess where that maybe misses the mark, or not misses the mark, that's too judgmental, but the point system might not take into account and to reflect how reflective of the Canadian experience the show might be.
Yeah. Yes. You're referring to the Vikings clause. So Vikings, a great show on history about the history of Vikings and their plundering and exploration of the world. It's considered a Canadian TV show because it has the points for it under director, second lead performer, picture editor, and some other production and music points. But the weird thing is, so it's created and written by Michael Hirst, who is an English screenwriter, and the show is filmed in Ireland. So in this case, is it really reflective of the Canadian experience? Not really, other than Vikings landed in Newfoundland and on the East Coast. But yet it's considered Canadian under this point system, and it's won several Canadian screen awards.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think about one of my favorite movies of all time is Eastern Promises, which is considered a Canadian movie,
yeah.
even though it's set in England and stars no Canadians.
Yeah, it's so weird, and that's where it gets confusing. I've written about Canadian television in the past, and when these announcements come down about new programs, you think, okay, well, is this a Canadian show? Oh, yeah, it's a Canadian production company. Yes, they're filming in Calgary. Yes, the screenwriter is, but some of the directors aren't, and so that's where you get into that gray area, and you really had to start digging down into IMDb to figure out if it truly is a Canadian show or not.
Greg, we know the country has changed a lot in the last 50 years. Do you think that the current rules reflect those changes in the country?
No, not at all. I mean, I think they need to be changed and updated. I actually think that there should be some stricter guidelines now, so to ensure that as much as I love Vikings, that it might not be considered Canadian. I've spoken about the strength of Canadian television with you before, and I still feel that way. I don't think that there should be no rules at all, but I do believe that there should be rules and that those rules should be updated to also include web series, because those have become huge things as well. And those rules need to be applied to that type of programming as well.
Greg, I think you alluded to it a little bit there. Some folks will actually go out and start pounding the table and say, we shouldn't even have any CanCon rules. That's a bit of an overreaction, don't you think?
I do, you know, especially, you know, you mentioned Maple and, you know, it might be interesting to chat about that for a second, because, you know, when you do have these rules in place, it does ensure our identity is still in place, you know, especially when you've got that big country to the south of us that influences a lot of what ends up on our airwaves.
Mm-hmm. And these rules oftentimes create institutional frameworks to actually create a lot of jobs in the business that, again, might not be director jobs or lead actor roles, but we see huge production hubs in Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto, Alberta, all over the country as a result of these rules and being able to score these points and having productions move north of the border.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, having the local infrastructure, you know, supported by this point system means that this great programming is here and it's being employed by Canadians. You bring up a really good point because, you know, it could be if the documentation is in place, you could end up with a bunch of Americans working on a show being filmed in Canada.
You mentioned the way that digital has changed the way we look at these things, too, in regards to web series. There have been a number of Canadian series that have really broken through in the last couple of decades. I mean, you don't need to look any further than Schitt's Creek, winning a whole bunch of Golden Globes and Emmys. But even shows like Trailer Park Boys, that's a tremendously popular show. What's the one on Crave of the small town in Ontario?
Letterkenny.
Like, these shows are extremely popular south of the border.
Yeah. I mean, Trailer Park Boys, Letterkenny, and Red Green would be another example of three Canadian shows that really made a splash south of the border and around the world. And then them even having theater tours before the pandemic hit. Letterkenny was in the middle of doing North American theater tours where the characters, the actors and actresses would come out on stage in the characters and do performances and do stand-up. And it was the same thing with Trailer Park Boys and also with Red Green. So, yeah, I mean, once we've established the talent here in this country, around the world, it just gets lapped up.
So, Greg, let's circle back to the big, broad question that we started with here. I think we've talked about some of the specifics, some of the nuts and bolts. But if you were going to try and define it, how would you define Canadian TV? What is Canadian TV?
Wow.
I know. It's like an impossible question. So you can tell me, Dave, go away. It's Friday. It's the weekend. I'm not ready for this.
No, that's fair. And, you know, I think it comes down to what everybody thinks. So just because of what I'm going to say, it doesn't mean that you need to agree with me. And it's actually better if you don't. I think a Canadian television show is representative of what's going on in our country. And it tells our stories, whether those be the stories of you and I, the stories of Indigenous people, the stories of French Canadian people, the East Coast, the West Coast, mm-hmm. the North. You know, I think all of those stories need to be told. So that's what I think Canadian TV is, telling the stories of the people that live in this country, either whether we ended up here because of our ancestors or whether we were already here when those ancestors showed up.
Greg, we've got about a minute and 30 seconds left here, but I do want to pose one more question to you. We were just talking to Ramya Amuthin and Nisreen Abdelmajid before the break about ripping off the Band-Aid when you officially get sick of a show and saying, okay, no more, I'm not going to finish this, or being like me and going through the slog and finishing shows even if you don't like them. Which camp do you fall into? Do you rip off the Band-Aid and say, you know what, I'm done with this, I've put in all this time, but it doesn't matter? Or will you finish a series just for the sake of finishing it?
Yeah, I've done both things. The fun one that I have, the third option that I'll throw out to you that I go through with a lot of shows, is I start to get really frustrated with it and I hate watch it. So I'll yell at the screen. I'll make fun of the characters. My girlfriend and I will openly mock what we're watching. So that's the really fun third option that I'll throw out. But I've definitely slogged through. Lost would be an example of slogging through to the very end because I was so loyal to that show. But also, just because my watch lists are so full, I've also pulled the Band-Aid off and said, forget it, I don't have time for this.
Yeah, I've pulled the plug on watching The Walking Dead week to week, but when it's eventually done and all out online, I'm gonna watch the rest of it. Hey, Greg, always fun catching up with you. Have yourself a great weekend, my friend.
You too. Thanks a lot, Dave.
That's Greg David. He's a communication specialist for us at AMI, and he spoke to you from Chelsea, Quebec. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.